Hushai the Archite was the king's companion, and after Ahithophel was Jehoiada the son of Benaiah and Abiathar, and the general of the king's army was Joab. I'm going to speak to you for a little bit on the subject, what happened to Ahithophel. Something happened here. Father, we come now and pray for your help and your blessing as we try to preach your word. Help me, I pray, to be a blessing and a help to the people. I pray that you'll make the word of God a blessing. I pray the Holy Spirit will carry it to the hearts of each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Obviously, one of the great men of the Bible and one of the great types of Christ in his office as the King of the Jews was King David. Not only was David one of the great men of the Bible and a tremendous type of Christ, but the Bible account of the story of David is some of the most interesting reading in all the Word of God, and for that matter, in all of human history. Not only is it interesting to read and study about David himself, but it's also interesting to read and study about David's men and the people who played a part in the story of David. For example, if we played a game of fill in the blank and I said David and left the blank open there for you to fill it in, some probably would say David and Goliath. There'd probably be some that might say David and Jonathan. And then there'd probably be some that would say David and Bathsheba. The truth is that there are many names that could go in the blank because there were a multitude of people associated with the life and the reign of King David. Now, one of those lesser known men who was associated with David is the man mentioned in our text verses. And I doubt if we played this game, I doubt that anybody would say David and Ahithophel. I doubt anybody would say that. But Ahithophel is a man that was associated with David. He's often referred to in the Bible. Well, he's not often referred to at all, but when he is referred to, he's sometimes called Ahithophel the Gilonite, referring to where he came from. But 1 Chronicles 27 is listing for us many of the people who were a part of David's kingdom and who held various positions and places of responsibility under King David. Verse 33 tells us that this man Ahithophel was David's counselor. That is, he was David's advisor. He was the primary one who would give David guidance and advice and counsel concerning areas that David needed to know about and act upon. In fact, Ahithophel's counsel was so wise and so prudent that this statement is made about him in 2 Samuel 16 and verse 23. It says, "And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God." Ahithophel's counsel and his advice was held in such high esteem and such high regard, and he had developed such a reputation for giving wise counsel that counsel from Ahithophel was looked upon by many people as being tantamount to getting advice and counsel from the Word of God. But after 1 Chronicles 27:33 tells us that Ahithophel was David's counselor, then verse 34 says, "And after Ahithophel was Jehoiada the son of Benaiah and Abiathar." And so after Ahithophel, Jehoiada and Abiathar became the king's counselors. Therefore, between the time that verse 33 speaks of when Ahithophel was David's counselor and the time that verse 34 speaks of when Ahithophel was replaced by Jehoiada and Abiathar, something happened which removed Ahithophel from his high and lofty position in the kingdom of King David. And this is what I want us to consider this evening. What happened to Ahithophel? Now, apart from this passage in 1 Chronicles 27, Ahithophel is only mentioned by name in four other chapters of the Bible, all of them in the book of 2 Samuel. And so I want to ask and try to answer from the Bible a couple of questions concerning this man Ahithophel. And the first question that I want to ask and try to answer is the same as the title of the message: what happened to Ahithophel? As we saw in 1 Chronicles 27, Ahithophel was replaced as David's counselor by two other men. Well, why was he replaced? What happened to Ahithophel? Well, that question's answered in the book of 2 Samuel. If you want to look back to 2 Samuel chapter 15, we'll see what it was. 2 Samuel chapter 15, and notice, we'll read the first six verses and then some others down through here. But notice 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right, but there's no man deputy to the king to hear thee." Absalom said, "Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Okay, now look down to verse 10. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron." And so here then we see David's son, Absalom, undermining his father as king and seeking to seize the throne for himself. Okay, now look down to verse number 12. And Absalom sent for, Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. So we see in that verse that Ahithophel is involved in the plot to overthrow King David and to see the throne transferred to Absalom. Now look down to verse 31. And one told David, saying, "Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." And David said, "O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." So what happened to Ahithophel was that he joined in Absalom's conspiracy to steal the throne of Israel from its rightful king, King David. Now, in betraying King David to his enemies, Ahithophel became an Old Testament type of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed David's descendant, King Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, into the hands of his enemies. Now, David wrote at least two psalms, which are believed by Bible students to have been occasioned by the betrayal of Ahithophel. Now, let me explain something that many of you, maybe most of you, already know regarding the psalms. Several of David's psalms are what they call messianic psalms. Now, this means that they're quoted in the New Testament as having some reference to the Lord Jesus, or if they're not actually quoted, the application to Jesus is so obvious that it must apply to him. Now, the way that God would inspire David to write these psalms is according to what Bible students call the law of double reference. This simply means that God would give David the psalm in such a fashion that it had reference to two different things. It would have an immediate reference to some event in David's life, and then also it would have a future reference to some event in the life of the Lord Jesus that answered to and was like the event in David's life. Now, with that in mind, look over, please, to Psalm number 41. Psalm number 41, and this is one of those messianic psalms. And Psalm number 41, and notice verse 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Now, in John 13, verse 18, Jesus quotes this verse as applying to Judas' betrayal of Jesus himself. That was the future reference that David had in mind, or at least that God had in mind when he inspired David to write the psalm. But Bible students believe that the immediate reference that David had in mind was his own betrayal at the hands of his trusted friend Ahithophel. And then turn a few pages beyond that and notice Psalm number 55. Psalm 55, and let's notice beginning in verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Now, while this passage is not quoted in the New Testament as applying to Judas betraying Jesus, it fits that situation so perfectly that probably most Bible students apply it to that. But again, the immediate reference that David had in mind, no doubt, was his betrayal at the hands of Ahithophel, one who had been so very close to him and had given him guidance and counsel. So you see how Ahithophel became a type of Judas Iscariot. So what happened to Ahithophel? Why was he replaced as David's advisor and counselor? Well, because he became a traitor who betrayed David, his friend, his employer, and his king. You know, I suppose that betrayal at the hands of someone that you love and trust is about as painful a thing as there is. We can feel how heartbroken David was when we read those passages from the Psalms. It was a sorrowful, heartbreaking experience for David. I've seen the heartbreak that betrayal brings. I've seen wives betrayed by their husbands. I've seen, and I'm seeing this more and more nowadays, husbands betrayed by their wives. I've seen parents betrayed by their children. I've seen children betrayed by their parents. Betrayal at the hands of one you trust is one of the most painful things that there is. And so what happened to Ahithophel? He became a traitor. He took Absalom's part against his king and his employer and his former friend, David. And so that was what happened to him and why he was replaced by somebody else in his position in the kingdom of King David. Now, second question, why did Ahithophel betray David? I used to wonder how a man as wise as Ahithophel was could allow himself to be pulled into the conspiracy of Absalom to overthrow David, but I think I know the answer. Look back a few pages in your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 11. If you're familiar with the Bible, you probably recognize that chapter as being the chapter that tells us about David's sin with Bathsheba. Now, we'll read verses 2 through 5. It says, and it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I'm with child. And so we read here of David's sin with Bathsheba. Now, did you notice there in verse 3 that it gives some of Bathsheba's family connections? And it tells us not only that she was the wife of David, one of David's soldiers, Uriah the Hittite, but also that she was the daughter of Eliam. You see that? Okay, now look over to chapter 23 of 2 Samuel. Chapter 23. and verse number 34, and it's giving a list here, and this is a part of the list, verse 34, of what's called David's mighty men. And it says, Eliphelet, the son of Ahasbeah. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Of course, I'm not sure really how you pronounce most of these words. I just pronounce them what looks best to me. Eliphelet, the son of Ahasbeah, the son of the Maacathite. Now look, Eliam, remember him? That's Bathsheba's daddy. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel the Gilonite. You see, Eliam, Bathsheba's father, was the son of Ahithophel, which means that Ahithophel was Bathsheba's granddaddy. Now, once I learned that, things began to fall into place and make sense. See, the thing that used to really puzzle me about Ahithophel was not just that he joined Absalom in his rebellion against David, but the absolute hatred that he seemed to have for David, as evidenced by the counsel that he gave to Absalom about what to do concerning David. For example, 2 Samuel chapter 16, and notice, beginning in verse 20. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, "What counsel among you? Give counsel among you what we shall do." And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, "Go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong." So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. So you see, Ahithophel advises Absalom to go commit adultery with David's concubines, and interestingly, that took place at the same place where David's sin with Ahithophel's granddaughter Bathsheba began, upon the palace roof. You can sense that in Ahithophel's mind, he was taking vengeance on David for what David had done to his granddaughter. Chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. "Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, Let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night, and I'll come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with me shall flee, and that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only." He wants authorization to track down and kill David. What happened? Why did Ahithophel betray David? Why did he hate him so much? I'll tell you why. It was out of bitterness over what David had done to his granddaughter Bathsheba. Now, I said earlier that Ahithophel is an Old Testament type of Judas, but there is a difference. And that difference is that Judas had absolutely no reason, no cause to betray Jesus, whereas Ahithophel did have some reason to be bitter at David. However, and don't miss this, however, in the case of Ahithophel and David, God stood with David. And Ahithophel's bitterness and seeking to take matters into his own hands and wreak his own vengeance destroyed, listen, not David, but Ahithophel himself. Look, chapter 17, and verse number 23. "And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father." Didn't destroy David, destroyed Ahithophel himself. Somebody said, "Bitterness does more damage to the vessel in which it's stored than to the object on which it's poured." And that's true. I was preaching about this at Dr. Kevin Wynn's church one time, and after the service, we were talking about it. And he said, and it made me think, and I agree with him, but he said, "You didn't emphasize this point of it, but," he said, "one thing I get out of that is this: when God forgives somebody, He dead sure expects us to forgive him. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15 is an interesting verse. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now get this, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. He said, don't let a root of bitterness spring up. A lot of people will be defiled by that. Oh, but so-and-so did me wrong. Yeah, I know. And David did Ahithophel's granddaughter wrong. But dear friend, some things you simply have to leave in the hands of God and let him take care of it. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. God will take care of any vengeance that needs to be meted out. But if you try to step in and do God's job, you'll hurt yourself. Incidentally, God can take care of it a whole lot better than you can. He dealt with David about what David had done with Bathsheba. He didn't need Ahithophel's help. Verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You know, it's like the lady was talking to the preacher, and she said, preacher, my husband, just as mean as he can be, he treats me so unkindly, I don't know what to do. And the preacher said, well, have you tried heaping coals of fire on his head? And she said, no, I've tried pouring scalding coffee down his back, but I hadn't tried heaping coals of fire on his head. So he said, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And so, what happened to Ahithophel? He turned traitor. Why did he turn traitor? Because of the sin David had committed against his granddaughter. But trying to take vengeance into his own hands, he destroyed not David, but himself. We can't harbor bitterness, folks. And I'm thinking of a fella years ago, back when I was, they called us preacher boys. I always resented it a little bit. I thought, I ain't no boy. But at that time, anyway, I was working for Brother Charlie O'Daniel, who's now in heaven, but he was the pastor of the Maranatha Baptist Church in Oklahoma City for good night. From back then when I was there in the real early 1980s until he passed away just a year or two ago. But there was a fella that, I don't remember, I don't think this was maybe this was the second time he had come to church or whatever, but this guy'd been involved in every cult. He'd been a Jehovah Witness and this and that and everything under the sun. But this particular Sunday, Brother Charlie and his family, if I remember correctly, were out of town, and so he asked me to take the service that Sunday, and I preached on unconverted religious people. And when I gave the invitation, this guy came down the aisle, and somebody knelt with him at the altar and was dealing with him. And I tried to keep the thing going for a while, but they kept on and on and on and on and on. You know, I'm thinking, good night, what are you telling this guy? And finally, I just said okay and dismissed the people. And everybody left. They're still down here at the altar. And finally, I left. They're still down there at the altar. I don't know how long they stayed there. But that night, when I came back to church, I don't know that I've ever seen this in another case. When I came back to church that night, this guy was there, and he was, I don't mean when I talked to him, I mean when I saw him, I could see that something had changed. There was a glow about him. Like I say, I don't know that I've ever seen it in another case, but it was obvious to me that something had changed. Well, what had happened was he met Jesus at the altar that day, but he was absolutely transformed from a bitter, grudging spirit that he had before that to the most humble, lovable spirit that I've ever seen or that I can think of. Now, shortly before he got saved, he told us this later, he had stood in the apartment complex in which he lived. He had stood under the stairwell waiting for his wife and her boyfriend to come back home. He was standing there with a butcher knife under his coat waiting for them to come, and he fully intended, according to his testimony, to take them out. And as he looked back on it in retrospect, he said, well, God prevented me from doing that. But when he got saved, God really did a work in his heart. And it really got, to me anyway, it got comical. Rather than trying to kill his wife's boyfriend, what he did was he talked him into coming to church. And the guy got saved and left this guy's wife, which was, you know, his girlfriend, but he got saved, so he left, and then she got another boyfriend. You know what he did? He talked him into coming to church, and he got saved. I mean, his wife couldn't keep a lover, couldn't keep a boyfriend, because he kept getting all of them saved. Well, that's the best way I ever saw anybody deal with bitterness. We can't harbor bitterness.